Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 4th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I'm joined by a lovely guest. I've got Lita with me. How are you doing, Lita?
I'm doing okay. I was going to lead off being candid about the fact that I've been really sick, but then I realized that all of the comments would just be like, is it rough kneecap syndrome? Is it inverted spine? Like, Raven has really ruined the concept of illness for everyone.
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk about Raven and, you know, her disease and the attention it's brought. You know, it's an interesting question, actually. Like, has she brought good attention, bad attention? I don't know, because certainly gastroparesis, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, it's on people's minds, you know, at the very least. So has she done some positive? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know if that's really the face of the illness that people who have that disease want, but I guess it's definitely raised awareness. Yeah. But it's not awareness month anymore, so we don't have to be aware of it anymore.
We should stop being aware.
Yeah.
All right. So we are here to talk to you about everything that happened on the feeds yesterday. And really, it was yesterday was basically like the only thing that happened was there's this big chronicle of Josh and Paul, or Josh, yeah, does not like this plan. Paul does like this plan, and they're just going to be clashing all day. That's pretty much my entire notes. It's Christmas, Josh, and Paul. I don't think there's a name in there that's not Christmas, Josh, or Paul.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much about it. They solidify sending Jason home, which we already knew. I think that's pretty much the only other name.
Yeah. All right. So we start the day off. Christmas is telling Paul about the drama from yesterday, for the day before, and saying that, oh, don't worry about it. I calmed Josh down. As I just told you, that clearly was not the case. But she's telling Paul at this point, don't worry, I calmed Josh down. He was freaking out a little bit, but it's okay. We're all good. And then Paul and Josh are talking about, they're talking about somebody else here. They're talking about how Raven threw the veto competition. They're like, I'm mad about that. She doesn't want to get blood on her hands. You know, Brent brought this up last night in the recap, but they actually are talking about how they think Raven could win the game if she gets to the end. I hope Paul doesn't believe this, because I don't think it's true at all. And I think it's a mistake if Paul thinks that that Raven is going to beat him and that he can't take Raven down to the end. I've mentioned many times that I think his ideal Christmas. So hopefully he's just placating Josh with this talk, but he hasn't really talked to us in a while. So it's hard to tell. Alita, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm sure that this is just placating him, because the people that he lists off as the definite jury votes for Raven are Cody, Mark, Elena, and Matt. I mean, even besides, maybe you can make an argument for Mark and Elena, but why is Cody a definite vote for Raven?
Well, obviously, because he feels bad about the fact that he went after her in week one and she turned him down. And then he said that that's okay because she can't have kids.
Right. It's his guilty conscience. That's what Cody's known for. But yeah, so the people he lists off are completely just unfounded. So I don't think he believes that at all. He's just saying, like, look, she has four, like, for sure. So we have to get her out. But yeah, I really doubt that he's going to.
Yes. So then the conversation shifts. It goes from Raven to this plan. Because Paul has been made aware now that Josh was feeling even more sketchy about this plan than he had previously thought. Christmas just told him earlier in the morning. So they're talking about the plan. Josh is saying, and don't worry about it, I'm okay with it. Like, it seems as though the Christmas talk worked. Josh is saying, like, it's fine. Paul is even doing his thing that he does, where now that he's got Josh convinced, he's like, well, I could not use it if that's what you really want. And Josh is like, no. You should use it. You should go through with the plan. It's the best thing. And then Paul mentions that, like, don't worry about it, man, because, you know, next week I'm going to get blood on my hands. I'm going to win the HOH. I'm going to go for Alex. It'll happen anyway. I mean, I will probably need to put up two pawns to send Alex home, but that'll be fine. Don't worry about that. And you can immediately see the wheels turning in Josh's head, like, no.
Yeah, no. Josh doesn't think he has the votes to stay if he's one of those pawns.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is Christmas's whole thing, is that she's like, well, Paul is going to get blood on his hands this week, but even if he doesn't, he's going to totally expose himself next week. It'll definitely happen. And Josh is not so sure of that. But Christmas's whole logic is just that, like, it'll happen. But then at the same time, she's like, well, we don't want Paul to be exposed because then we'll also be exposed. And it's just like constant, like, just a logic to fit trusting Paul for any given scenario for Christmas.
Well, but here's the thing, right? Because you can look at it from Christmas's perspective and you can see why it makes sense. You can see why it makes sense from Paul's perspective as well. Like, he does make a compelling logical argument in terms of keeping the three of them safe. The thing that Josh refuses to bring up in front of Paul is the jury vote thing. And that's why it's bad for Josh. This actually is a good move for Josh in terms of keeping himself, Christmas, and Paul safe, because Paul is completely correct. If he manages to keep Alex on his side, he can convince her to do anything. And that includes potentially throw the HOH to him. And even if she doesn't, he can absolutely convince her to put up Kevin instead of one of Christmas or Paul, Josh, in which case Kevin would go home. They would be safe. They could go after Alex the next week. It is actually the best move for that. The problem is, and Josh is aware of this, although he's also a little bit paranoid in some other areas that he's a little bit wrong about, and we'll get into that. But he's aware of the fact that this is not good for his jury chances, because it really makes him look like a fool. The fact that he is the one out in front taking all the heat. I think he can remain safe from it, and that's Paul's argument, but he's not going to look good in front of the jury if he does this. He's not only going to piss these people off, but he's going to look like a tool being used as opposed to the person who is using people to do things. And that's, the part that he can't bring up to Paul, because he feels like that's too selfish, I think. So I think it's a very tricky situation. We talk about these things all the time in the Big Brother house, where it's like, you have valid arguments on either side, but you can't bring up all of the arguments to the other person because you're trying to keep that to yourself. So you end up just kind of running in circles. And that was yesterday.
Yeah. And Christmas is super not entertaining these ideas from Josh either. I think at one point she tells him, like, are you playing for jury votes or are you playing to win? It's like, Christmas, come on. Like, they're not mutually exclusive. You don't have to pick one.
Right. And again, I think that's because in Christmas's eyes, she sees a win as getting to the final three with her alliance. That's her win. And so jury votes are like a separate thing. Like, oh, that's just gravy on top. We shouldn't compromise winning, meaning getting to the final three, for jury votes, meaning winning $500,000.
Right. She says that no trio has ever slayed like the three of them have, but they're slaying in the same way that, like, Kim Spradlin slayed with Chelsea and Sabrina. It's like, yeah. No one person is slaying and has two people, I don't know, riding the sleigh.
Yeah, there was a great post on Reddit that was like, that's cute, with a picture of the Brigade, who of course made it to the final three.
Yeah.
So this is really, I think, the source of the conflict. So Josh, after this conversation, he runs up to Christmas, tells her again, like, this is all in Paul's interest. We should not be doing this. It's not good for us. And Christmas is starting to really get annoyed, because And here's why, I think, because she not only has already had this conversation with Josh a few times, but she also just told Paul that she was handling it and that she was good at handling it and that she had been able to calm Josh down. So the fact that he's coming to her again and that he had just talked to Paul about it again, it makes her look bad. It makes her look like she wasn't able to handle Josh. And so she's really getting annoyed. Josh is like, this is not good for the three of us. She's like, yes, it is. This is the best thing for the three of us. Josh just walks away from her like, I got to go take a nap. And that you do not walk away from Christmas.
No, you do not. And yeah, her place sort of in the alliance, I think one of the things that makes her valuable to Paul in her mind is that she's like the Josh whisperer. And she's like, I'm the only one who knows how to do this. And you're right. I feel like she feels undermined by this. And just for them to be having this massive blow up because he's being like minorly disrespectful to her when she just had this whole thing with him about how, like, we can't start shooting at each other. We can't start turning on each other. Like, it's just Christmas, I know, has overreacted a little bit in the past, but I think she needs to keep her lid on here.
Yeah, she really was annoyed that Josh like walked away. Simmons G in the chat said her condescending voice came out, and Whitney says her angry voice came out. She's got some voices. Christmas, and again, like, Christmas, I've talked about it all season long, where she's such a weird player because she has such strengths in the game. She is the Josh Whisperer. She can convince Josh of things more than anyone else in this game. She has great one-on-one relationships with people. And when she has conversations that are one-on-one, it's really, really strong stuff. She has a decent mind for strategy. She really is in a pretty decent spot here, largely because she got injured, but you know, you can't take away the social work she's done. But then also she has these random absurd blow-ups and like hang-ups and just like completely condescending to people. Later in the day, this is something that happened outside of this whole Josh Paul thing. Kevin was talking about how he was annoyed because Raven was going around asking everyone if they wanted a sandwich and she didn't go to him. And he was complaining, why? How come I don't get a sandwich? How come I don't get offered a sandwich?
That's how you win Kevin over. If you're exactly. A woman, you make him food.
Well, I, to be fair, I think it's if you're anyone, make him food. Okay. So Kevin was annoyed because Raven was not making him a sandwich. And then Christmas, I guess, for whatever reason, overheard what he was saying and thought that he was talking about her. So she just starts aggressively questioning Kevin, like, were you just talking about me? Did you just complain that I didn't make you a sandwich? And he's like, no, I didn't. What are you talking about?
Maybe Christmas was just outraged by the feminist overtones of a man asking a woman to make him a sandwich.
Yeah. I guess Paul was the one that went up and told her, but it was ridiculous. Like she was so aggressive in this conversation and so wrong. Like Kevin had to be like, Jason, did I say Christmas? No, I said Raven. And Jason was like, yeah, he was talking about Raven. And at Christmas, she just gets so annoyed and she just takes it out like the smallest things on people. Like this is very reminiscent of the, are you going to go swimming? Conversation where it's just like, why do you need to blow up on someone like that? You're just like, you're killing your social game. You have a very strong chance of making it to the final two. But if all people can remember about you is that you blew up on them for no good reason, well, how are they going to vote for you?
Yeah, when you make a BB19 blockumentary, you can call it so aggressive and so wrong. I think that about sums it up.
I guess so. So, Josh eventually comes back to Christmas and she chastises him in the condescending, angry voice. Don't you walk away from me. You're a grown man. Don't act like a little child. That's not behavior for an adult.
She's like the worst teacher you had in lower school. Yeah. He's like really strict, but not even a good teacher.
Yeah, it's all about the strictness and not about the learning. Yes. So Josh tells her about this plan that Paul has to put up two pawns if he wins HOH next week. Christmas does say, well, that's not a good idea. He should just nominate Alex straight away. At which point Josh says, well, good luck trying to convince Paul not to. He's very much he's very much come around to the idea that you can't convince Paul to not do what he wants to do, which is like very opposed to the perception that Paul is trying to put out of himself, which is I'm asking you, what should I do? And Josh is the one that's being able to see through it right now because he actually has an opposing plan. He actually disagrees with Paul's logic and he's not able to make any headway. So Josh then goes to Paul. And the day previous, they had this conversation. Paul said, do you have a better plan? And Josh said, no. And so Josh comes up with a plan. He goes to Paul. He says, here's what we'll do. You don't use the veto. And then all you need to do is say, Christmas asked me not to use the veto. That's why I'm not using the veto. And then everything will be fine, which is a terrible plan and doesn't solve any of the problems. But I for whatever reason, Josh thought it was better. And Paul obviously was like, I don't know if that doesn't seem like it's going to work to me. That just makes it even more obvious that all three of us are working together.
Yeah, well, I think in Josh's mind, it forces Paul to at least plant a flag and pick a side and make someone angry because people are going to be angry at Josh thinks that it's going to be him that's going to have the most heat because Christmas says that. Well, later he says that Christmas is going to take a lot of heat too, but Christmas has the excuse of like, well, I've already said that I want a strong male out. So like, that's my alibi. Like people won't be mad at me if I vote or Alex won't be mad at me. Because like, it's this logical reason or whatever, which is not like a real reason. So Josh feels like at least they'll all be in it together, which you're right is not a great plan because like, why make everyone mad at you're in just yourself when you can make them mad at your entire alliance. Like, that's not a great plan, but I think in his mind, it at least puts the three of them on even footing for the jury vote.
Right. And again, it's like he can't come up with a better plan for keeping the three of them safe, because Paul is correct. If Paul doesn't use the veto, Alex will be mad at Paul. Like, for as much as she is in Paul's pocket, and I'm sure that Paul could at least a little bit be able to convince her, no, this was for your own good. This was for your own good. Like a very Dan Giesling-esque sort of explanation where it's like, no, I needed to take out your closest ally because it's for your best interests. And I think maybe Alex would be able to be receptive to it. Obviously, Paul is no Dan Giesling, so I don't think it would fully work as much as it did for Dan. But I think Alex is dumb enough that she'd buy it just a little bit.
And you can say like, oh, look, we took out Matt and now Raven was totally safe this week. Like, when you take out your partner, you become much less of a threat. And so I was just doing it to protect you, all of that.
Right. But the thing is, it does really undermine a lot of what Paul has been telling her all season long. This really hasn't been Paul's game. And again, he's no Dan Giesling. So it's hard to really say that like this is going to work for him. And even if it does, it's hard to then convince her that not to go after Christmas and Josh. Whereas if he does use the veto, he really can. And you can very easily see how he will convince her, oh, The whole thing is that Kevin flipped the vote and I'm on your side, but Kevin flipped Josh and Christmas, those useless people. Kevin is the real bad guy mastermind here. And she will 100% go after Kevin. Much, much easier road there. And so it really is the safer route for the three of them for Paul to go through with this. And Josh can't come up with a better plan that is safer, even though he sees it as safer for him because he has less heat on him if Paul makes a stand, because Paul will have the heat and Alex will theoretically go after Paul and not him.
Yeah. And not using the veto would not only undermine what he's been telling Alex all game, but it would undermine what he told her like yesterday or today when he's saying like, oh, let's just totally blow up Kevin's game. Like, how funny would that be? Like, he's explicitly told her that he's like really excited to put Kevin up and get Kevin out.
Yeah. So so Paul says basically no to this plan. He's not really having this. He goes to Christmas and tells her Josh is freaking out. What's going on?
He's tripping.
He is tripping right now, literally tripping all over himself. He's really, bludgeoning up those knees. They're getting really rough. So Josh ends up joining this conversation they're all having this conversation, all three of them. They're trying to convince Josh that this is the best way to go. And Josh is trying to convince them, no, this is the best way to go. They're really just gaining no headway whatsoever. It's just like two forces clashing against each other, not making any kind of progress. So Paul ends up leaving. And then Josh tells Christmas, look, I am a super fan of this game. I have seen this game before. We cannot let it happen. This is no good. We cannot like this. What Paul is doing is very smart and it's very good, but it's for his best interest. And we can't just like roll over and let it happen. But Christmas is just over it at this point. She is so done with Josh and his what she calls paranoia. She's just like, whatever, just decide. I'm over it.
Yeah. And not only does he know that they can't let Paul do this because he's a super fan, but he knows that there's a double eviction coming because he's a super fan. Plot twist. So he has like all of this going on where he's thinking like so many different ways, and Christmas is just like so one track minded that they can't even have a conversation because they're thinking about totally different parts of the game.
Yeah. Josh is telling them, there's a double eviction coming. We have to be worried about this. And Paul is like, no. It's going to be a Sunday eviction. Paul has been saying there's going to be an eviction on Sunday for the last 3 weeks. And I have no idea why, because there's never an eviction on Sunday. That's not like a thing that happens. So it's very weird. The veteran is definitely being out-knowledged by the super fan, which I guess isn't that surprising considering Paul doesn't actually watch Big Brother, he just plays it.
Right.
So, you know, Josh is trying to break through to Christmas. It's just not happening. He talks to Paul again. Paul tells him, dude, you're being paranoid, just like you were in the early weeks of the game. You need to chill out. Remember what I told you then? Just calm down, play dead, shut up, and listen to me. Like, Paul is really starting to get annoyed about this. And Josh is just like, I haven't been paranoid since then. I'm right now. You need to listen to me. But again, it's just getting nowhere.
Yeah, completely in Josh's defense. Even if this is not a great plan, the way that you respond to an ally coming with a different plan is not just be dumb. That's what you're good at. Just play dumb. Like, your plan is bad and I don't want to entertain it. Like, if Paul is trying to maintain the illusion that the three of them are teammates on equal playing field and that they all have an equal shot of winning, then this is not the way to entertain your ally. And I understand that he's annoyed, but like, you're so many weeks into this game, you need to just like be able to deal with being irritated by Josh.
Yeah. So Josh ends up talking to the cameras. He's saying, I cannot believe Christmas is buying this crap. It's no good. She's smarter than this. I see through what Paul is doing right now. I don't even know why he's bothering to claim this is for a team. Why doesn't he just say, I'm playing for myself at this point? It's ridiculous. And this is where, you know, again, like, Josh is thinking somewhat correctly in that this is bad for his jury game, but it isn't bad for his getting to the end game necessarily, at least right now, because he doesn't really have a whole lot of other options. And he does have sort of a misconception of what's happening here. Paul really does want to take a shot at Alex next week. I think Josh thinks that he doesn't, but he actually does. Josh also thinks that Paul has been telling Jason and Alex that that Josh is a tight two with Christmas, because Jason has mentioned to him a couple times, like, oh, well, you're like really tight with Christmas, right? And he thinks, how could he have possibly known unless Paul told him? Probably because it's really obvious,
right?
I mean, everybody knows. But he's convinced that Paul has been leaking information. And so he really feels like Paul is playing him even more than he actually is. And this is where I think he's getting in trouble, because obviously Christmas isn't going to buy into that. And also there's this dichotomy where he's also saying, I trust Paul implicitly. I'll never turn on Paul.
He says, you couldn't pay me to turn on Paul. That said, I am so fed up with everything he's doing and I'm not going to let him do it, but also I'm never going to turn on him.
Right. It's like, it's a very, very weird situation. Like, it's very much a half measure, right? Like, he sees that this is not the right thing to do, but instead of like trying to make something happen outside of this, he's trying to like, be like, I don't trust Paul, but I do trust Paul. And I want to like, go against what Paul wants, but I also want to stick with Paul till the end. And it's just like, that's not going to work. You cannot do that, especially with like you're saying you're a super fan. You've seen this kind of game before. Do you know what happens when you question people like Paul, like Derek, who play the dictator game? You get cut because they cannot show anybody else that they are able to be questioned. And they have plenty of other options in terms of people who will not question them. So if you're going to make a move against them, you cannot miss. You need to gather up your forces. It needs to be a killing stroke. And I really feel like Josh is making a mistake here. I think Paul has to be worried at this point, and he has to start to be thinking, I need to start taking out Josh maybe even sooner than I anticipated.
Yeah, and you don't even need to go back to a previous season of Big Brother to see this. You can just go back to Mark talking to Jason over chess, like, mm-hmm. just bringing up this idea, which is that like, you can't just float this idea without a solid plan that could potentially work. You can't just be like, what do you guys think about this? Because then it gets back to Paul and then you're completely screwed.
Exactly.
You're the traitor.
Yeah. And so, I mean, really, if we're looking at like what Josh needs to do, right? Like, I think he needs to let this one go. I don't think he can do anything about it. Paul has all the power. Christmas has all the power. They've decided what they want to do, and he doesn't have the social capital to convince them otherwise. He doesn't have the social capital to convince anyone else otherwise. He needs to just let this one go, and then as soon as possible, just gun for the HOH and just take Paul out. That's really the only thing he has left. Like, he needs to take Paul out. You can do it You probably can't do it in the double, to be honest. They probably won't have the votes to take Paul out, but you could do it at final five, at final four, at final three, win the veto at final four, win the HOH at final three. Even just winning the HOH at final five could potentially allow yourself to do this, or be the single vote, and win the veto at final five. There's plenty of ways that you can do this, at five, at four, at three. You need to just hope that you can do that. He's locked himself into a position where he really doesn't have any other options. If he tries to go the social or strategic route, I think he's just going to fall flat on his face and Paul's going to wreck him. I really feel like that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I almost wonder if Josh talking to the camera like this, where it's like, I'm on to Paul, I'm the only one who's on to Paul, but also I will never turn on Paul, is just him trying to like talk to America and get everybody on his side or something, if he just wants to seem liked, because he's like, well, people want, you know, people who play independently, but people also love Paul. So I don't know if it's that. It just seems like such a strange thing to say, but like be so passionate about, like, he's not a team player, he's only looking out for himself, but I will never turn on him.
It really does feel like Derek talking to the diary room about like Donnie, like, oh, I love Donnie, I would never betray Donnie, he's the greatest, secretly trying to get Donnie out every single week. It feels a lot like he's trying to placate, like he's trying to justify it to someone, either to himself, like, oh, I would never turn on Paul, I'm not that kind of person. Or you're right, maybe to America, like, oh, Paul must be very liked, I can't tell the audience that I'm going to go after Paul. But I mean, hopefully he does.
Right.
But again, like he's even mentioned himself, like, this is how Steve Moses won the game. The thing about Steve, and this is, again, why people underestimated Steve. Steve knew his limitations. He knew exactly what he needed to do if he wanted to beat Vanessa. And he didn't try to turn things around on Vanessa. He didn't try to convince her to do things that were not in her best interest. He just did his best to convince her that he was loyal, that he was dumb, and that he would do whatever she wanted. And like the few times that he did try to go against her, like when she was up against Shelly, and then when it was him or her to go up on the block as a pawn when Austin was HOH, he lost. And he recognized that, man, I can't beat Vanessa at this game. I need to do it some other way. And he recognized those limitations and he made a plan accordingly. I need Josh to be able to figure that out, because if he keeps trying to do what he's doing, I really think Paul is going to cut him much sooner than later.
Yeah, I think in his mind, he wants to think of himself as a manipulator and an equal competitor to Paul. But Josh has certain strengths. He's just not totally sure what they are.
Yes, exactly. So Josh is really concerned about these jury votes. And so he wants to tell Jason ahead of time that he's going to be voting him out. If Paul is going to go through with this plan, he says, the one thing that will make me feel comfortable is I get to talk to Alex and Jason first. I can explain myself to them and then maybe I can retain their jury votes. Not entirely sure this is a great idea for Josh either, but this is what he feels. I think he really, at this point, he just needs to feel like he has some agency. Like he gets to have some sort of say in what's happening here. So he goes to Josh, to Paul and Christmas, and he pitches this plan. He asks Paul straight up. I mean, again, he should not be doing this. He questions Paul. He says, did you tell Jason about me and Christmas? And Paul's incredulously like, no, what are you talking about? Are you high? Are you insane? Dude, he does his best Matt impression. Whoa, what are you talking about?
What? Dude, come on.
Homie.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's not happy. He's like, no, why would you do it? Why would you say that? Like, why would you question me about that? Why would I turn my back on you like that? And not only that, but, you were saying to Raven earlier, you were saying Palmas in front of Raven, like me and Christmas are a thing. And like, what was that about? Like, Paul completely turning it around on Josh. Like, you're saying that I said that you and Christmas were together. Meanwhile, you're downstairs, like, talking to about Palmas to Raven. Like, that's no good. You can't be doing that stuff, man. So again, like, Josh really, he's fuddling about with a hornet's nest here.
Fuddling about indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, you can't just go saying around Palmas when Paven is so obviously real and exists.
Yeah. And posh.
Oh, I like that one.
I'm surprised posh hasn't been used.
Yeah, well, you can't just go around saying it.
And there's Pevin and Palix and Payson.
Oh, Payson is nice. Yeah, well, I think that Josh's plan to tell Jason how he's voting is, I mean, it's not the worst one. I think that it would be a really bad idea if he was voting for Alex. I think that she would get, you know, real petty about it and she would blow up. But I think that it actually might work to retain Jason's trust in some way, not trust, but, you know, his good feelings.
Yeah. And I do think that, like, Josh obviously has jury management to do with Jason. And that's what he's concerned about, right? Like, he needs to he needs to be able to explain his game to Jason. I think that's what he's concerned about. He recognizes that this makes him look like a pawn, and he wants to convince Jason, like, look, I'm sorry, but it was in my master plan to get you out. And I was intricately involved in this so that Jason can go and complain to the jury about how Josh is the one that took him out. And I think that's what Josh wants. What he doesn't want is for Jason to go to jury and be like, that scheming Josh turned on me because of somebody else telling him what to do. It's not the worst thing in the world, but you got to be careful about the way that you do it, because not only is obvious jury management probably detrimental to your jury management, but it can also lead to a situation where it ruins the entire plan. And that's what Paul is concerned about. He doesn't want Alex getting wind of the fact that, you know, Paul is turning. And then if she goes to Paul and tells him Christmas and Josh are turning, then Paul has to go and like all like fake the fight too early, and then it can get all messy. So they're a little bit worried about that. And what Paul tells him to do is, he's like, look, Josh, you just need to play dumb. You just need to play into, that's your character. You are dumb. You need to play dumb. Just shut up. Just be Josh. That is what has kept you safe up until this point. That is what will keep you safe going into the future. They don't think you're a threat. They think you're just dumb, Josh. You need to play into that. And that is absolutely not what Josh wants to hear.
That's not what anyone wants to hear, ever. Like, hey, everybody thinks that you're dumb, so just be dumb. Like, that's not what any valued alliance partner wants to hear when they come to their alliance mate with, like, an idea, with a genuine, like, alternate strategy.
Yeah. Especially Josh, because Josh is very sensitive to this idea that, yeah, like, he knows that that's how people see him, and he hates that. And
right,
that's part of why he doesn't like this plan. It's because it makes him look like the person that's dumb, that just shuts up and does his job. So this is not the right way to handle Josh. But Paul just doesn't like the idea of Josh giving Jason or Alex a heads up. So, you know, ultimately we end this day with just like this, these people, the Josh and Paul, they just keep clashing. Josh still does not want to do this. The veto ceremony is going to be coming up today, and we're going to see what happens with that. We may ultimately see Josh come around to Paul's plan, or we may see him do something crazy to try to counteract it, like go to Alex and Jason and blow the whole thing up, which is, I do think, is a possibility. I can see him thinking that, well, Paul wants to do his thing, I'm going to do my thing, and I'm not going to turn on Paul, but I am going to out him to Alex and Jason. I think that's theoretically possible, so stay on the lookout for that. But other than that, there's really not a whole lot left for this week.
Yeah, and just one more thing about, like, the playing dumb thing. I think that it's such a unhelpful thing to say, or such, like, an inciting thing to say to Josh, because it's both a personal and strategic insecurity. Like, I think on a personal level, he does not want people to think that he's dumb, because that is how he's been perceived. And then just on a strategic level, that's what he's worried about in the jury. Like you said, that, like, people are just going to see him as someone who just went along with anything. So I think on two levels, it really, really bothers him. And Paul is just not being sensitive to that at all. And I think that that's a mistake.
Yep. So, like I said, this day was really just the chronicle of Paul and Josh. There really wasn't a whole lot else going on. Paul has basically told everyone else to just shut up and stay quiet. So that's what they're doing. There's not much else to update. So I believe we will end it there. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens with the veto ceremony. We'll be live tonight for the LFC roundtable at 8 p.m. Eastern. And make sure you, set your DVRs to record American Ninja Warrior, because the Vegas finals are starting. And Lita and I actually were in Vegas for the finals. Pretty decent chance you can watch us on TV in the audience.
Yeah, we were in pretty much the front row for one of the nights. And then the second night, we were too tired and hot to deal with the pyrotechnics. But we were in the front row for one of the nights. So hopefully they will use that footage of us being excited and sad and all of that.
Yes, should be fun. And of course, make sure you check out our American Ninja Warrior podcast. We will tell you all about our trip to Vegas and our experience at the taping. And we've also been doing something kind of cool. Since we were in Vegas, every time we've had a chance to talk to one of the athletes, we've been recording little snippets of them talking about their run in Vegas. So we'll be able to play those for you when we talk about their runs to get a little more insight into what was happening there. So lots of fun stuff happening with American Ninja Warrior. Make sure you check it out. And again, you can just start from the finals. This is basically a reset. This is, you know, the Japanese version of the show is only these finals. So everything else is just qualifiers. It's like if you watch American Idol or something, and you skip to when it's all like the voting, the America voting. You can just start from there if you want. This is the best part of the show, so make sure you check it out.
Interviewed Meghan Martin this week,
You
should check out.
We talked to Meghan Martin, one of the stars of the show. Very, very great conversation we had with Meghan. So make sure you check that out as well. And of course, the Taran Show. We'll be dropping very late tonight, early tomorrow morning. I talked with Aubrey Bracco of Survivor, Koh Rong, and Game Changers. Very fun conversation with Aubrey, so make sure you check that out. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. But Lita, you also have So You Think You Can Dance, right?
Yes, I also have So You Think You Can Dance. We are recording that tomorrow. We potentially have a guest. Don't want to announce it, but it will be our first guest, just in case it doesn't go through. But yes, check out So You Think You Can Dance. Great season so far.
Okay, so thank you everyone for joining us. We will see
Follow me on Twitter, Taran.
You know, just as I started saying that, I was like, she's totally going to complain to me that I didn't plug her on Twitter. Mm-hmm. At Lita tweeted and at Lita grammed for Instagram. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll see you next time.